Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Grow, 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 and then grow some more. That's how businesses work, right?
But in a world where the lines where business is there to serve the rest of our lives, is growth alone enough to keep us fulfilled as humans? Is it as simple as saying we need to grow, or are the waters murkier?
So is this even a question anymore? Is it still simply about growing, full stop? Or do we need to add another question to finish it off? Grow? To what end?
That's what we're speaking of. Let's keep this line in, because this is the introduction, right? For the listener, Rich appears to have changed my introduction. So I'm going to keep it in. That's what we're speaking about today. So giddy up, partner. Let's get going.
I'm Joe Glover, founder of The Marketing Meetup, a global community that connects and educates over 20,000 marketers in the most lovely way possible. Everything we do it to put the human beings we help first.
I'm Richard Wood. I lead the marketing agency Six & Flow. I've worked in marketing for around 19 years now, and I'm a massive believer in that marketers should be trying to engage with people on a human level, not just treating them as leads and numbers in a spreadsheet. All right, so I'm going to ask the first question, Joe. So how do we define growth? So what does growth actually mean to the marketing meetup?
Oh, interesting. So even the phrasing of that question is interesting, right? Because you say growth of the marketing meetup. So that's the context of business growth. And yep. Actually, the place where I go to first when I think about growth is probably personal growth. But let's answer your question first. So,
but they don't have to be separate.
Well, they don't have to be separate, but I don't know. Interesting. So I see when I think about growth of the marketing meetup, then I probably think about impact primarily. So what is the impact of the marketing meetup? Are we growing the change that we are trying to make in the world? You know, are we connecting people better? Are we educating people better? And are we also spreading a bit more kindness? You know, and actually that last bit is the bit that I'm most interested about. So that impact is one. Secondly, there's probably also a numbers thing. You know, is the community growing? Are the amount of people attending our events growing? And then there's probably a third one, which is the one that I don't really like to speak about all that much, which is probably a third, which is the financial sort of stuff. Is that growing?
Profit.
You know, and, yeah, you know, and is the team growing alongside that? And actually, you know, even saying those words out loud, I can reflect already that financial growth doesn't need to be a dirty word, you know, and actually that can sort of have a relationship with the first and the second things that I was speaking about. But I find this whole topic of growth really quite uncomfortable in a way, because I think it is often associated with us growing and, you know, more and more and more, where actually, you know, that's never really been what I'm about. But I do know someone who growth is a very central tenet of them and their personality. Who could that be?
Well, so that, and actually this is beautiful segue there, Joe, but this actually comes back to, so as an agency, we've got four core values, and one of them, and probably the main one, is growth. And it is the one that is plastered everywhere. We've got murals on the wall, all that kind of stuff. Everything we do has a growth flavor to it. Now, interesting when you were going with my phrasing the question, saying we've immediately gone to business growth, and you're saying you typically lean towards personal growth, and I'm saying actually I don't think, my personal opinion is I actually think they are intrinsically linked and should be linked, because we've got, so our core value of growth is that ultimately, yes, we want agency growth, we want client growth, but what drives that is the individual team member growth. So and the principle behind that is that if my team are growing, and by that I include me as well, so if the team are growing, the agency's growing, the clients are growing. Because by growth for me, it, and I think you use the word impact on your community, and I think growth for us is about impact that the individuals can have. So the individuals are growing. So we've just done a certification day. So the entire agency stops working on client work and we all focus on doing certifications, HubSpot, Drift, Vidyard. It's a learning day, right? And the reason we do that, that is a huge expense to the agency. There's 40 odd people all downing tools. Like, it is not a cheap enterprise, but the growth you get off the back of that, the individual growth, because they are then more impactful in the work that they do. They can then do things faster. They can do things better. Clients get more growth. Business gets more growth, and all of those things start to stack up. But it is fundamentally built on personal growth. That works on a team basis, right? So I'm saying, look, if you want to get really dirty with it, if you think about the team as an asset to the business, that asset is growing in value, which grows the overall value of the business. The horrible way to think about like people within the business, but that is like the context that I'm giving you in terms of growth. You, on the other hand, so you may or may not kind of, you might stand by this at the end of it, might be a hill you want to die on, might not, but you have kind of got a separation between the marketing meetup growth and Joe growth. I would actually say, bullshit, you're wrong, because think about the way that you've grown your business. It is, up until a recent point, has been grown on your personal brand, James's personal brand, and that kind of feeding that back in to like actually growing TMM. Stands on its own 2 feet now, and we've talked about that loads. But as Joe grows, TMM should grow, because you are fundamentally driving that. You've got a team of 3 now, you, Ellie, James. Yep.
Yeah.
As each one of you grows, you are only ever going to grow that business more. So I think the way I view growth is, and I'm exactly the same as you, like, we have growth targets that are financially driven, right? And we have to for certain reasons. So I've just, we do an annual, what do they call it? Joint growth plan or something like that with HubSpot, where we're talking about, okay, we're going to grow our MRR like this, and this is how we're going to do it. Here's our revenue targets. Here's our MRR targets, blah, blah, blah. Now, for me, I couldn't give a fuck about the financial side. It bores me to death. Like, as long as we've got enough, I said this, our new financial controller, Chris, started with us a couple of months back. And he was like, well, what metrics are important to you? And I was like, look, in a base sense, I want to know that we've got more money coming in than we've got going out. Everything else I can figure out around that and becomes like the depth bit. But they're the two metrics that help me sleep at night, like, basically.
It's interesting that, though, because even the way that you've spoken about that, I guess when I think about growth, a lot of the time, I think a lot of the sort of the conversation around growth is output driven. You know, our MRR is this. You know, the Twitter bros. You know, I've grown my MRR to this. You know, our ARR to this, and you know, it's always about the output. Actually, what's quite nice about what you've just said is it's more about the input. You know, it's more about this personal growth, you know, and actually, you know, that almost feels less dirty in a sense. You know, like, I haven't really established, you know, why I think it's dirty, but, you know, I have that unease about this conversation in a way. But like, as an input, focusing on that feels so much better already.
But it's a language we have to speak, though, right? So like, it's if you are pitching TMM to investors, or you've met somebody in a bar and they're saying, oh, like, what have you done with your business over the next couple of years, or like something like that? The universal language is normally revenue growth, profit growth, depending on how deep that conversation's going. It's not like, I mean, to be a knobhead to walk into a bar and be like, yeah, I've just grown my profit by this, but like revenue growth, because that gives you a scale and like people understand the overall scale and blah, blah, blah. Headcount growth is often one that's done as well. And headcount growth is a fucking stupid statistic, but we can come on to that anyway. Like that is a toxic growth statistic.
Every agency owner ever, it's like, hi, I'm from X and I've got 40 people.
Exactly. All right, great. I deliver the exact same amount of work as you do, but I've only got 10 people, better company.
Yeah.
And that's, anyway, we can dig into that in more detail. But that's why, like, it's people use those statistics because it's a universal language, whereas it's very difficult to have that same conversation and go, how much did TMN grow last year? And we're like, well, me, Ellie and James did a couple certifications, and now I think that Ellie is probably 20% better at her job. I mean, what the fuck does that mean? Like, you have to really understand the business, the output that that then drives, to actually give that some context, because growth internally means different things to different people.
100%. No, very, very interesting. I need to pick you up. It's L, not Ellie. Just so,
sorry,
so
I don't get that was Joe's fault.
but you're right. You know, that's really interesting. Although, I don't know. I'm rubbish at this. I'm rubbish at small talk. So actually, I'd much rather have the input conversation, because it just seems so much more interesting. But you're right, as a universal language. That was the line actually from Martin George, who's the customer director at Waitrose, when he spoke at the marketing meetup, is that finance is the language of business, which, you know, really stuck with me, because he was speaking about, as marketers, it's our responsibility to be able to translate what we do to that language, rather than sort of expecting the rest of the world to sort of adapt to our things. Which
I don't know if it's because you're saying it, but like, I think there's a part of me, like a deep seated part of me, that inherently disagrees.
Oh,
because,
you know.
And I think you probably disagree with that as well, right? Because neither of us have built our businesses because we wanted it to be like a financial powerhouse. Yes, we wanted to support, we wanted to have growth. We understand it has to achieve certain things financially. Great. Yeah. But neither of us started our businesses like that. Neither you and I, very rarely, when we talk about our businesses, communicate about the financial side. Like that, we might talk about it like a win and put some financial numbers around it to give it some context. But outside of that, that's not why we created our businesses, and that's not the language that we use. So I think, yes, on that kind of like base universal level, finance is a business language. But I think actually you and I are much more focused on the human element of like the business. So like, and we've talked about like the education bit today. We've previously talked about like belonging, that kind of stuff within an organization. So I think, yes, it probably is on a universal level, but I actually don't think it is on a day-to-day level for people like us.
Yeah, I think that last bit of the sentence is the right bit, right? You know, for people like us. And I think you and I identify as both marketers and founders. And I think maybe that is the founder's privilege, that we can sort of speak about the human element a lot more, because that's what interests us. Whereas if you're going into reports of the board, you know, the marketer's privilege, or the marketer's lack of privilege in this sense, is that they have to speak in those terms. You know, the growth is exactly as we've described, is that output based stuff.
Maybe what's needed then is the like more of an understanding of that kind of, how do you translate the human element of the growth piece into that financial language? And I think like then, so I even touched on it before, is like actually you are making your asset, for those of you who are listening, I'm doing air quotes because I'm not that much of a dickhead, but there's, like the assets within your business are becoming more valuable. The output is greater, not necessarily they are doing more, but they are having greater impact with what they are doing.
Yeah. Very interesting. So how do you, you know, for the listeners, then we actually are a little bit organized sometimes, and we've got a document. And the next point was, what are our own growth KPIs? And I guess like we've got our own growth KPIs, but then, you know, launching off this conversation then, you know, how do you think about growth on KPIs for your team as well? You know, because what we've said is that Six and Flow, you've got this very sort of input driven approach. How do you start to put a KPI around that sort of stuff?
So the way that, so we started a couple of years ago, we started rolling out EOS, the Entrepreneurs Operating System, so a management framework. And within that, everybody in the organization effectively has a number that they own, right? And there's, we're looking for movement in that number, positive movement in that number. And it might be up or down depending on the metric. So there's that element in it. So everybody should in the organization. I don't think, we're not quite top to bottom in terms of everybody is focused on their number yet, but it's coming, and like people are getting better with that. But it's a lot of that, unfortunately, is output driven. So there's a lot of like, so some of the numbers on a leadership level that we track are obviously revenue per head, utilization rates, that kind of stuff. So we're looking for positive shifts in those numbers. So we don't want every number to go up, but we are looking for that positive shift, because like as an agency, the ideal is that you get to the point you put less time in and more money, like it takes you less money to generate the same pounds, less time even, yeah, to generate the same pounds. That's the metrics you're trying to, so that comes with efficiencies, it comes with new tools, like that kind of stuff. But with, on the individual level, talking about like their growth, so like team member growth, everybody in the organization now, with the exception of the leadership team, but everybody in the organization now has what we refer to as a 90 days to excellence plan. So every role in the business has a 90 day plan that should make them proficient in their role to then step in. Like you basically do one of these to move into the next role. And then there's kind of ongoing training in between it. So there's those elements that are starting to be tracked, but it's not like a finite number. There's no kind of, you need to tick X amount of these each month or anything like that, but everybody has one of these training plans in place. And then we look at things like HubSpot certifications, that kind of stuff. That's the kind of the fluffier end of it. But as a business, unfortunately, we do track the more of the financial stuff. So it is cash flow, it is forecast, pipeline, those kind of metrics, and we're looking for positive growth, but we're also looking at how much of that can then be invested back into the business as well.
Super interesting. Do you think it's a, you know, I mean, we might be going down a bit of a rabbit hole here, so you know, pick us out of it if you want to, but do you think it's possible to have these conversations on, sort of use the word fluffier, but you know, it's debatably fluffier. I think it's probably actually more, it's just better, you know. Do you reckon it's possible to have these conversations more regularly on the input driven stuff, you know, or do we just need to really, really build a business case that sort of says exactly as you said earlier, actually, you know, we've invested 20% of our time into learning and development, and therefore, you know, you can see these numbers, and that we just need to be having both conversations at the same time far more regularly, rather than, you know, just sort of reporting that last number because that's what we think people will be interested in.
I think smaller organizations are better at doing it, right? So they are like, they are more, and that might be because it's easier to have those wide reaching conversations across multiple elements of the business. So like there is from me to our most entry level type role, there is only a couple of layers of management. And that's, and we have skip level meetings. We try to make sure that those barriers don't really exist. We try to keep that conversation open regularly and kind of free flowing. Larger organizations, that is more difficult to overcome. And you often end up with like silos in those, kind of like people have always done it their way. And one department might not be knowing what's going on in another department. And I think that makes it difficult to have the kind of conversations and that change in language that you can really see that impact. So historically in a large organization, you have HR or people operations saying learning and development is good, but they're having to fight the case for here is why it's good. Like DE&I, here is why it's good. And all of that, I think, is bundled into that whole growth piece because you are improving an organization. Actually tacking on financial numbers, I think people are getting better at translating that language into the financial language and saying, by doing this, we are going to be able to achieve this. And I think actually that's probably one of the things that the kind of the shitstorm of global events over the last couple of years has done is actually refocused a lot of people going, actually, the way that we've always done things doesn't quite work anymore. And isn't going to work in the future. So we need to be more receptive to this stuff. And I think we've transitioned away from that CEOs and leadership teams kind of playing that card at face value. And now I think it is actually genuinely starting to be more intrinsic, at least with the companies that we work with. It's not just a box ticking exercise anymore. It's much more, we need our team to feel like and appreciate that we are investing in them. We want them to be growing within the organization because otherwise we're going to lose them. And we spend a lot of money to find them. We spend a lot of money to keep them. And if we're just going to like grow them and then they fuck off, then that's a problem because there's a lot of investment that goes into them. So it makes sense for a business to do this stuff.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No.
100%. Interesting. Let's shift it a bit, because otherwise this will be 4 hours long, as much as it is. I could speak on this all day long. It's really, really core to the things that I'm sort of exploring at the moment with our next stage of the marketing meetup. And I guess this conversation about growth, I guess the thing that I've struggled with to a certain extent is it's always been more, more, more. You know, for you, you know, you've said before on this podcast, I think, that you want to grow the next sort of MediaCom. You know, you want to be, you know, the big boy. You know, you want to grow. You want to be a big boy.
Hey, big guy. Thanks, Joe.
But where does, you know, where does growth end? You know, is there an end point? I mean, so I think maybe I wrote this question before we'd had this conversation about input, and actually that feels a lot more sort of aligned to how I feel as a human. But like this sort of output sort of driven conversation where it's like growth, you know, just improve on last year, you just make more than last year, you know, that seems so
that the, you know. This is such an interesting question, right? And I like vividly, there's a couple of conversations from when I started the agency that I vividly remember, because they either jarred with my principles or they stuck with me for some reason. And one of the first conversations I had was with the accountants that we first set up with. And literally one of the first questions they asked me in that initial meeting, like their kickoff meeting, was, what's the exit plan? And that for me is so different to how I operate. Like, it's like going into a marriage going, well, I'm going to do this for 10 years and then I'm going to get it divorced and kind of move on and find the next love of my life or whatever. I was really struggling for, like, how am I going to phrase this?
But I'm sending this to Holly.
Yeah, but thankfully, that's not how I feel. Think, because like, it's for me, I enjoy the process so much that it's like I'm a builder. I enjoy the building process, and it's not like It's not like a build and flick type scenario for me. Like, it is a genuine desire to see, hey, how far can we actually push this? That's the bit that I really get. Like, that really entertains me, like, is how entertain me is the wrong, that's the bit I find most interesting, is how can we continue to build this under its own steam with the kind of what we've done over the last few years and use that to keep growing. How do we push it? Like, let's make the journey exciting. It doesn't have to be about the end point. So and that's why we can be like, the growth for us is so varied, because we've got all these different elements that we're focused on growing. And it's when we talked about why should we talk about like what is growth, that's where I find it quite, I sit separately from a lot of people, because like particularly agency owners, as they're saying, well, we're going to grow up to this point and then I'm going to sell it, or like I'm going to do this with the business and then I'm going to move on and do something else with it. And like, some people are lifestyle businesses and there is nothing wrong with that, but that's not where I sit. But their view on growth is that the business is growing to a point and then they want to sustain it so that they can then live their like their lifestyles in the way that way they want. And that for me, that's not how I view it, because I am competitive to a fault and want to see if we can take this like little upstart agency, like that's where we started, can we turn it into a household brand? And actually, can we continue to function like the challenger brand when we become the incumbent? So that is actually one of our like our focal points as we grow, is remaining in that challenger brand mentality. And that's for growth for us, that is a big part of it, is how do we maintain mentality and positioning while we are growing at the same time. So, but growth for someone like you is, like, we've got slightly different ambitions with what we're doing in the business, but growth for you will be slightly different. So I think inherently growth is quite personal, but also at the same time it's not, because it isn't. So you and I are both founders who built their businesses initially around that founder persona, well, not our personas and our personal brands. So actually there's a lot of that, like, personal driven mentality coming through the businesses. So if you look at Six and Flow as an agency now, my DNA, this is sound really bad, I was just saying my DNA is spread all over the agency. Don't mean that at all.
I am not going back to that office.
No, but like, as in my, like, how I view growth, how we've positioned, and that passion to learn is spread throughout the agency, because it is like that. That is the stuff that I find interesting and I have driven through to a point. And now, because you hire people in your own image, and that is a bad thing and a good thing, and we've spread that, but you hire people who have the same values, right? So that only accelerates throughout the business.
Yeah. No, you know, I think what's really interesting about the conversation, and abundantly clear, is, and you said it explicitly, is that you're judging growth on so many variables and metrics that actually it's not about, we made £200,000 this year and 250 this year. You know, it's you know, did our people grow? You know, are we having more fun? Am I enjoying the journey? You know, am I still enjoying the journey? Did my enjoyment of the company grow from last year to the year before? You know, did they become more qualified? And again, you know, it's just not the language that people use, but it feels so much more healthy. It feels like such a more healthy conversation about growth, because in itself, growth is amazing. You know, like, to be better than you were last year, to be happier, you know, to be having more impact. These are all very, very good things. It's just the way that we have these conversations as marketers, as founders, as the business community is so not healthy, you know, I believe. So, you know, that's really quite refreshing in a way.
Agency owners as well are, like, if my goals were purely financial, if this was about how do I put as much money in my pockets as possible, I wouldn't run a fucking agency. It's a stupid idea, because it is like, there are ways to make money that are way less stressful. I could go and work for, although I think I'm marginally unemployable these days, but I could go and work for tech, SaaS. Like, yeah. I could go and work for somebody else's agency. I could do all these things, take a sturdy wage, but they're not the things that drive me. Like, it's not financially driven past a point that makes me want to chase those numbers. It's the numbers that I enjoy. And actually, the only reason I care about the revenue stat is because I am competitive, and it is a benchmark to see where you sit in the market. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, I don't have a benchmark. It's like, I can't easily go, well, I can kind of in the HubSpot ecosystem, but I can't easily go, well, my agency's got more learning under its belt than yours. I can with the output, but I can't really with the input. And it's a difficult metric to chase, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you say, in the HubSpot ecosystem, it makes a little bit easier reading, because especially when you're so high up the league rankings, right? You know, so it's I thought I'd throw that in there, you know, just
thanks, buddy,
on the back.
Appreciate it.
I really like how you thinking about that. It's actually, it's quite illuminating for me, actually. So thank you, mate. I really appreciate it. With that in mind, I'm going back to the notes here, because we're sort of speaking about, like, is growth culture toxic in some regards? And I think we've probably covered quite a lot of it, really, because we sort of say it can be. But I mean,
the only one I didn't come back on, like, that I mentioned but didn't come back on, is that headcount stat. And that's one that, so I know that, well, actually we've just shifted, so like normally I have all these metrics in my head, but we've actually just upgraded or kind of moved up all of our targets for the next couple of years. But we were by the end of in 2025, we were planning to be 10 million turnover, and we would then assume that that will be roughly 100 people. Now, the way that we do that is because we target our revenue per head, we target between 85,000 and 120,000 per person. If it's below 85,000, we know that we need to be like, there is something wrong, because we're either like our utilization rates are too low, or we're not bringing enough work. If it's over 120, then things are breaking because we're working too hard. So that's the benchmark that we use. So we then go, okay, let's put it in the middle, 100K per person, 10 million, so we know we need 100 people, right? So that's the fag packet mass that we use for that. But it is not a target. It is like, we do not target bringing in more people. It is only an awareness thing that we know that we need a certain amount of people to deliver that work. If on that journey, we figure out a way to deliver the same value and same impact for the clients, but not having to bring on as many people, or we can figure out ways that we are making more money, we create a product that's bringing us in those targets or whatever, great, we'll do that. Because bringing in more people, I could go out and hire 100 people tomorrow. I wouldn't be able to pay them for more than a couple of months, but we could do it. Yeah. And that is a, like, if your target is that, you're encouraging that behavior, you're focusing on that behavior, and actually it's something that your business doesn't actually need or shouldn't need, unless you have it drilled down to one person equals X revenue, and you can just go, okay, one more. But the business is, so I'm in a service business, like it, and a consultative service business. It shouldn't be like that. With that, people are buying experience, expertise, knowledge, all that kind of stuff. That's what you're buying from us. You're not just buying hours from us, you're buying, and it comes back to that learning piece again. And that's why I think a lot of companies get this wrong, is they focus on headcount being a target that they should be chasing.
No, again, you know, it feels like an input to the output sort of thing, you know, which again, you know, it's not a goal in itself. It's the same conversation as you know, it drives me nuts when you kind of see folks sort of like celebrating getting funding as if it's a goal in itself. You know, it's like, actually, you know, that's
oh, great, you owe somebody a lot of money. Well done. Have you ever read Company of One?
It's in my Audible downloads. I think you told me to download it.
So. I did, and you just ignored me. Great.
No, I did the first step. I did the input, not the output yet.
So essentially, high flyer, was doing really well, and then started to assess what he wanted from, like, what were his growth goals, why was he doing what he was doing, and actually he figured out that he could earn more money and enjoy his life more if him and his wife, I think, went and kind of, not the outback, I think it was in Canada or somewhere, like far detached from the rest of the world and technology and all that kind of stuff, and he became a company of one. So all of his valued metrics, he actually realized that it would have been better for him to do that on his own. And actually he could achieve those without all the peripheral shit that came with what he was actually doing. And actually it's not for me. So my wife made me read that book and going, why are you doing, like, look at this. There's a, like, possibly a better way. And they're not my drivers, right? So, like, it's not financial. I enjoy the team process, like seeing other people grow, seeing what we can actually do with the agency. And then I would say that to you, is like, would you, if you could do TMM on your own and, like, you're still going to get the same wage, would you want to do that? Because it's, I mean, L, James, don't listen to this bit, I guess. But, like, I mean, it's, but I personally find the value in the process, not just the outcome. And that's why, like, my targets aren't financial. My life balance, work-life balance is all over the place, but I am doing something that I inherently enjoy and I'm passionate about. And that's why those growth targets for me are separate from the kind of the norms, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. I think truthfully and recently, I've probably allowed, you know, the thing that is coming in the future to occupy my thoughts. Maybe, you know, maybe it's a 50-50 split where it used to be like an 80-20 split, for example, in the favor of in the moment versus in the future. I've recently allowed that future thing to occupy my thoughts more than the today, the here and now, the process. And it's for that reason that I wouldn't say, you know, I bloody love doing what I do with the marketing meetup, but I would say that even just in the past couple of months, then I almost haven't enjoyed that process as much, because I've also been having my eye on the other bit. So on the output, you know, and actually the output in terms of what I'm thinking about is still impact. It's not financial or anything like that. It's impact. But like, by focusing on that sort of future stuff rather than today stuff, very, very easy to sort of forget what you're doing right now and sort of like appreciate it. And, you know, sort of recognize that and sort of take enjoyment from that growth, you know, that is happening right now. So it's really, really interesting.
As much as we've talked about like the input, right? I think for me, it's important to enjoy the process, but be excited by like the output or the like the end point. Because that's like when I think about it, like what I want to build £100 million turnover agency. Again, I've gone straight to the finance, but that gives it context. And by that, I don't really care about the figure at that point. What I'm giving you contextual information that's in the market, and I'm excited about that because it's a real possibility. Why can't I do that? Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's a million reasons why I can't do that, but give me one that I actually believe in. Like, I'm going to fight it. Fuck it. We'll see where we get to. Yeah. And I enjoy the process, which means I can have that loftier output or goal that I'm chasing, because actually, even if I get halfway to it, it'd be fucking amazing anyway. But like, even if I only get a fraction towards that goal, I've enjoyed the process. So I won't feel like it's been a failed entity if I don't get to that.
Yeah. And that's the key. That feels really, really important, because I think so many people get hung up on the, you know, we're going to reach the 100 mil. And if they don't, they feel like a failure. Or if they don't beat last year's, you know, revenue, then they feel like a failure. You know, or whatever it may be, but you know, sort of having both, you know, it's always bloody both. You know, that's been my biggest learning from 2022, is always both. You know, if you have both, then that feels like quite a healthy approach to growth. So, both is approach to growth. There we go. Stick that on the teacup.
Oh God.
Yeah. Right, mate. I think that's. Probably us for today.
Been fun. If you enjoyed listening to us, give us 5 stars, because it makes us feel important and clever.
Feeds the ego.
And it's appreciated. Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Cheers. Bye.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase.